Eric, you have that unenviable task here. Eric is the Vice President and General Manager of CARP, which I believe is the Canadian Association of Retired People. And he served as President and CEO of 50-plus Net from October 1999 to 2001, and later in 2005 to 2007. He led the company to 5 successive quarters of increasing sales, including some pretty impressive growth here. So, Eric, it's all yours.
Thank you, everybody. Okay. How do I load this thing up here? Let's see. There it is. There we go.
Got it?
I think so. There. Okay. First, I'd like to give you a little brief word about our organization, and talk to you a little bit about CARP itself. We call ourselves, we've taken out the R out of the retiring concept of CARP. We have to explain what the R word is today. I mean, I think consider the irony for a moment that here is an organization of retirees that is talking about working and employment after you retire. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. The process of aging is changing at an unprecedented pace today. Medical advances, and as well as the areas of science, computing, and technology, have given us a deeper understanding of ourselves and our needs. The Zoomers, as we call ourselves, the people aged 45 and up, will be the first generation to really witness a persistent and fairly predictable increase in both the quality and quantity of our lives. Probably since the days of Moses. 120 years, still strong and clear of mind right to the end. I think that's within our grasp today. And today it is our Moses, as in Moses Nimer. I don't know if you know who that is, but Moses founded City TV in Toronto and started about 20 or 30 different other television stations. He's now my boss, actually. He's the Zoomer-in-chief who is leading the charge as president of Canada's largest association for Zoomers and the founder also of Zoomer Magazine. CARP is the largest association of its kind in the country, and people over 45 represent about 14.5 million people in Canada, roughly half the population. We have about 350,000 members, and we're marching towards a million. Zoomer Magazine is read by 800,000 people in Canada and in some parts of the world, and Zoomer Media's websites receive millions of page views and millions of visitors every year. CARP has been active for many years in the topic of employment and retirement income. And in addition to advocating for the elimination of mandatory retirement in Canada, we've also been active in the elimination of ageism and all of its elements in society, age discrimination in media, healthcare, and society in general. The concept of retirement is actually relatively new. It's only been around for 126 years since Otto von Bismarck brought it Industrial Revolution age Germany as a means of appeasing increasingly agitated workers from revolting. That whole concept is under attack today. Increasing lifespans, the collapsing pensions and benefits that we've seen in Canada, financial mismanagement on a personal, a corporate, and an international scale, and the increase of cost of living have contributed to an increasingly bleak outlook for those who have retired. And the generation of baby boomers that are concerned about it are actually contemplating the possibility of postponing retirement and even possibly never retiring at all. And people do want to retire. That's the interesting thing, is that people still do want to retire. The research has been fairly conclusive on that point. And the question is often when. Having the money to retire is obviously a key to that equation. And it's most often cited as the reason for when one decides they want to retire. Even though money is important, though, when people worldwide are asked to give their opinion on what, their ideal retirement is, it very rarely talks about money. It talks about family, friends, fitness, That's what defines the quality of life. And given the choice, most retirees would prefer not to return to the workforce, and most have expressed no intention to do so when given direct questioning on that topic. Effective, I'll just talk a little bit about the nature of retirement in Canada and what's going on. Effective retirement ages in Canada are average internationally, but significantly lower than the U.S., about a couple years lower than the U.S. right now. This could be partially due to public health care and the greater participation in unions, to your point earlier, Dr. Gross, where the age plus years of service provisions in most collective bargaining agreements will amount to an incentive to early retirement. The 55 to 64 age group will grow particularly quickly as baby boomers continue to enter this cohort. At the present time, about two-thirds of all Canadians retire before age 65. Having the financial ability to retire is key, as is the status of one's health. Not surprisingly, these are the two biggest concerns of CARP members. Age is less of a factor than one might think, rather the recognition that one has reached the plateau in terms of their hierarchy and their job content is often as much a determination as to when people retire. But in fact, health is also a very key determinant to making that retirement decision. Today, there's a lot of complexities and challenges. The OECD has identified Canada as a country facing one of the largest aging challenges over the next 30 years. This challenge is usually expressed as the dependency ratio, that's working people versus retired people, but a newer and more sophisticated measurement, what's called the average annual hours worked, is also projected to start declining by the year 2011. Some of you have probably seen some of the articles that have run in the Globe and Mail last month on the dismal state of most Canadians' retirement plans, a situation that continues to deteriorate. The CCAA, or the Companies Creditors Arrangement Act, has been used by many companies who have been sold or leveraged out of existence as a means of eliminating their pension liabilities. Just 25% of the private sector employees have pension plans, and only 16% of these are defined benefit. By contrast, the public service pensions have scarcely been threatened in most cases. 84% of these workers have pensions, and 78% of them are defined benefit. This has led some advocates, including CARP, to talk about a possible two-tier retirement situation that's emerging in Canada, creating a gap even between neighbors that lived in the same area, had the same income roughly. And now there's, with the deterioration of the private pension plans and people's RSPs and things of that nature, which have declined somewhere between 30 and 50% this past year, 11 million Canadians workers have, roughly 60%, have no pension whatsoever, and 8 million of them have no RSPs. It would be hard to characterize the Canadian retirement system as anything but failing under these circumstances, failing us. Compounding the financial pressure, of course, are family pressures. Last June, The Economist published a big study, I don't know if any of you saw it, on the slow-burning fuse, as they called it. They looked at a variety of countries around the world, but interestingly, in Japan, for example, when a woman gives birth to their first child, very often they stop working, they leave the workforce entirely, and then have to look after not only their kids, but when the husband's parents no longer can take care of themselves, they end up having to take care of the husband's parents and then their own parents at the same time. Last year's stock market crash and the subsequent fallout in a number of key areas resulted in reduced levels of economic activity and manufacturing, real estate, raw materials, and consumer products. It also created a situation where the value of retirement nest eggs of both the retired and the working have been in some cases permanently impaired, and there are fewer job opportunities available to recoup one's losses. We've heard about the impending wave of retiring baby boomers and from the workforce for some time now. Back in 2003, two professors from the Odette School of Business, Dr. Marjorie Armstrong Stassen and Andrew Templer, two professors at the University of Windsor, published a study on the upper-level HR management of 493 different organizations in Canada. When the questionnaire was circulated, the respondents were asked how important the topic of the aging workforce was to them and what if they were doing about it. From the available literature, they also, of what was considered to be, the avant-garde retirement and retention practices of the day for older workers, they also developed a list of 20 best practices that were also asked of these employers and to what extent the employers were engaged in their in these practices. And you can see the five hallmarks of what is considered to be best practices there: flexible work schedules, targeting older managers and professionals to update their job skills, providing opportunities for older managers and professionals to postpone retirement, training managers on age awareness, and job reassignment. A majority of respondents reported that the aging workforce was an important issue for them and for their organizations, and 38% of them thought they were doing a pretty good job, while 28% felt that their organizations weren't really engaged in that topic at all. But these subjective self-assessment measures really don't seem to align well with the data. If you take a look at it, you'll see that there's as many or more reported incidents of not being engaged as they were in being engaged in these topics. This observation that you'll see here is supported also by the 2006 HSBC global study called The Future of Retirement, What the World Wants, where 63% of employers stated that recruiting and retaining older workers was not an urgent matter, nor was there any need to do so. The following year, Marjorie herself decided to take the project further using CARP members as the subject database. Of the 624 respondents, just over half of them were still employed. The scope of the employment included was basically all job categories: manufacturing, healthcare, high tech, education, government, retail, the self-employed, et cetera, et cetera. And the organization size varied from 1 to over 1,000. The subjects were 3/4 urban, and 60% of them were from the ranks of the professional, managerial, and skilled trades. If you look at the disconnect between the stated needs of older workers and the retired when compared to the number of companies, according to their own HR people, who actually said they were addressing these issues. Flexible work schedules were identified as important by 75% of the workers and 90% of the retirees. And you figure that makes kind of sense, because if you need to take care of an aging parent or kids at home or whatever it is, you may have to have some flexibility in your work schedule. And yet only 60% of HR managers stated that their organizations were actually engaged in developing strategies to meet these demands. 65% of workers and 84% of retirees felt that their skills upgrading was important, but just 50% of companies were actually meaningfully engaged in that. 70% of workers and 86% of retirees felt that programs to keep employees working were important, but just 41% of companies are meaningfully engaged in coming up with a solution. And this was in 2004. The second phase of the study looked at the preferences and issues of 1,500 different CARP members, again from a broad spectrum of the workforce, from working to the retired to and everything in between. And what we've got here is we call them working, people that are full-time working, bridge employment, self-employment, and the retired. The vast majority of those still working chose to do so to improve their retirement income or to maintain their standard of living. Keeping active and enjoying the company and company benefits were mentioned by a majority as well, but far less do so because they actually enjoy what they're doing. Bridge workers are, by and large, working to maintain their standard of living. And you all know what I mean by bridge workers. These are people that have left their primary employment and are now doing something in between, I guess, looking for that next challenge, so to speak. Their main motivation for working was to stay active. Many do not necessarily enjoy what they were doing or enjoy their working environment, but found that the work less stressful than their career jobs in most cases. Bridge jobs usually are not in one's field of expertise and are often lower paying, sometimes much lower paying than they were making before. The self-employed work to keep active and that they enjoyed their work or the people they network with. They also enjoyed the flexibility of being their own boss. Many of them were doctors, lawyers, or other professionals, and some entered consulting careers in the same field as their work careers, and they enjoy the people they work with and general sense of achievement that they get from their work. Lastly, the retired are retired because they can be. And you may notice the small little asterisks there in terms of the certain categories on the retired side. And what they mean, I'll explain in a second, but they already have enough funds to maintain their standard of living, as denoted by the asterisk, and they keep active by pursuing their hobbies or their pastimes and gain a sense of achievement that way, rather than through their work career. A number of them also felt they had achieved enough in their careers and are no longer interested in working. Stress reduction was also cited as significant by significant numbers. When asked how mature workers were treated in their current work, respondents were more likely to feel valued and respected by their immediate supervisors and than their coworkers in organizations in general. But by comparison, respondents at bridge jobs were likely to feel more valued and respected by the organization and less so by their peers and by their immediate supervisor. Trouble in integrating with their bridge employer's environment was often cited, and the culture was often reported. The likelihood of retirees returning to work after retirement was stated as highly or somewhat likely by 75% of career workers and 58% of the self-employed. The top four reasons and motivations for returning to work were flexibility, the ability to earn a little extra money for special needs, projects, or vacations, friendly and supportive work environment where new skills could be taught or old ones could be mentored and passed along to younger workers, and the intellectual challenge of keeping active and mentally and physically, these are often linked with and are often pointed out as determinants for a healthy lifestyle and greater longevity. Some companies have demonstrated a real commitment to older workers and are examples to others that diversity, including age diversity, is a positive influence on their business. The good news, and it's not surprising, that these best practices at these firms have engaged in are directly catering to the stated needs of the older workers. Flexible work arrangements and schedules, challenging new opportunities, and a supportive work environment. Those are the big three. The bad news is that there aren't enough companies to do this. Big surprise. Talk a little bit about productivity. According to the OECD, reversing observed trends towards early retirement in the past couple of decades is the least painful way of offsetting the negative macroeconomic effects of aging. Encouraging older workers to stay in the workforce gets at the heart of the problem and it helps people make a little more money and pay for things that they want later in life, whether it be health care or whether it be another vacation or extra things in their life, maybe paying for certain family events or whatever it is. Without getting into a huge mathematical exercise, it can be shown that even encouraging workers to work even a year or two longer than their current average will take a good deal of pressure off both themselves and the system. For the individual, does it pay to work longer? Given the option, workers who have a pension benefit still choose to take the reduced benefit at an earlier age rather than to continue working. But for those who are able to continue working, though, it may be the best option. A study by the USGAO showed that postponing retirement even from 55 to 65 could nearly double their annual income at age 75, so they have a lot more savings in their bank accounts. In other words, by the time you hit 55, it only takes 10 more years to get to double the savings you have in all of your bank account up to that point in time. But the benefits to a business case for older workers is quite nebulous. AARP, who is a leading researcher in this field, has indicated that, they pointed to things like talent shortages and intellectual capital drainage and so on. But there are no quantitative studies that actually point that out. So how do you square the needs between what the need for some older workers and retirees to work and the positive effects on the economy that would accrue for them staying in the workforce? Perhaps that's a public policy initiative. In fact, I originally titled this talk The Right to Work, not The Need to Work, but in fact, you know, I didn't want to make a policy statement here. But so, in fact, it may be that we need something that says that people actually have the right to work as opposed to the need to work. We know that. Tax incentives and personal or corporate incentives could be established. I just want to show you this ad that actually ran in Zoomer Magazine. The question is, what is happening here? I'm going to read you the caption, what it says. I don't know if you can see that. It says, "You've seen industries transform and businesses streamline. You've made changes, like celebrating your 30th anniversary at home. But it was still a celebration. Face today's challenges with the knowledges and discipline. Invesco Trimark can arm you with the information you need at knowingpays.ca. Thank God I can rely on my mutual funds." Okay. After I get fired, I can rely on my mutual funds. And that's, I don't know if you get that, but take a look at that picture. I mean, aside from the Leave It to Beaver sort of look to it, what do you think is going on there in that picture? I don't know. When I look at it, I think the guy just got fired and he's telling his wife, at their 30th anniversary, "Hey, honey, we just got streamlined today. You wouldn't believe it. Somebody came in my office and streamlined me." This is another ad that appeared in our magazine last month, and it's by RBC, and I'm wondering whether or not the banks know something we don't. And I believe they do. Older workers are in a situation today where they're under threat in so many ways. It's not realistic for government to solve all the problems of seniors' income, and that given desire for people to work in their continued fields, today even the Royal Bank is looking at ways of giving people a 360-degree analysis of their situation and pointing out things like family, health concerns, and other parameters that are now being evaluated in their whole retirement portfolio. It's not just about investing in stocks and bonds anymore. In fact, you may have to go back to work in order to maintain your lifestyle or your standard of living. And I think that's what's going on here today. Last month, in spite of a net loss of 43,000 jobs in Canada, the only segment that showed an increase in employment were those that entered the ranks of the self-employed. Franchises, work at home, home care, and concierge consulting are businesses on the rise. Okay? Yes, I'm almost done. And lastly, there's anecdotal evidence to suggest that people, younger people, leaving smaller communities in search of employment and a more urban lifestyle, job opportunities that open up for them in bigger communities, there may be the opportunity for older workers to go into the smaller communities and find jobs in smaller communities where the young people have left. Older workers do need to take some care in making that kind of decision, though, because of access to health care, particularly in Canada. Other health care and other basic services are just not as plentiful as they are in urban centers. So just to wrap up, retirement is still a dream, even though it may be deferred for some and not a likely prospect for others. The need to work is real, and the reasons for doing so are varied and personal. And there are individual and societal benefits for hiring and retaining older workers, but both employees and employers will have to adjust their perceptions and attitudes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just have